When changes were made to the content methods and amount of testing for school children in New Jersey and elsewhere, arguments of how teaching to the test are limiting and how test results will be connected to teacher appraisals were among the many. First results of the new testing of New Jersey students have been released, and the results were far less than hoped for regarding student proficiency in many important subjects. The response by some, including teachers, blame the tests. My next guest joins us to discuss these test results and their true value. He's the vice president of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute. Say good morning to Robert Pondicio. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning. How are you?
Great to have you here. It's edexcellence.net for the Thomas B. Fordham Institute, and find out more about their work and this issue, among others. So if we look at the test results, Robert, initially, because there'll be breakdowns and more details as things are transferred and translated, I guess you'd say. Mm-hmm. But right now for New Jersey, what should parents be wondering and be concerned about from these results?
What a great question. Anytime you're talking about the relationship between testing and what kids do in school all day, the conversation quickly gets complicated and contentious, and that's particularly true in New Jersey, where many parents have expressed great concerns about the number of tests that their children take. So, but in terms of this particular round of tests, the Common Core tests, I think there's really not a lot of surprise here. Everybody who's been paying attention, which is hopefully most of us, expected that the proficiency rates that these tests showed would decline dramatically, and that's exactly what happened. But it's important to understand why. It's not as if suddenly kids who were doing well in school are suddenly not doing well in school. We just changed the way we measure what we mean by doing well in school. So let me give you an example. When I was teaching in New York City some years ago, it was kind of an era where a lot of tests, state tests, there's no other way to put this, we're just really dumbed down. Under federal law, No Child Left Behind, every state had to move more and more kids to proficiency. However, the mischief was that states were allowed to define proficiency for themselves. So as a practical matter, what that meant is states had every incentive to just lower the bar year after year so they could show that ever greater numbers of kids were reaching that bar. Well, of course they can if you set the bar lower. This got bad enough that this is one of the underlying principles behind the entire Common Core movement. States got together and said, look, you know, we have to stop lying to kids. We've got to stop lying to parents. We have to set a more realistic, real-world measure. So the Common Core tests are roughly correlated to a test called NAEP, the National Assessment of Educational Progress. And we've known for some time now that, and I'm painting with a very broad brush, that test shows about, say, 30-40% of kids are reading and doing math at grade level or what NAEP calls proficiency level. That is the level at which Common Core sets so-called college and career readiness, and that's the level at which this new round of tests is set. So if the scores have gone down, that's why. The kids have not been, nothing has materially changed about kids' talents or skills, at least in the short term. What has changed is the way we describe what proficiency looks like.
The value of the test certainly have been debated. We had Obama just recently say that he'd like to see testing as part of the education process, not a measuring of the education process. Called for testing to constitute more than 2% of class time. You've had the head of the NJEA in response to the test results. Parents and policymakers alike should be very careful about drawing any conclusions from the data released today or from any more detailed data that will be released in the coming weeks. As we said from the beginning, the PARC test is a deeply flawed assessment tool and was further compromised by widespread problems with technology and other issues. If they're not, we're calling it a new unproven test statewide for the very first time. It seems like we have too many who are trying to, as they say, CYA. In this case, with the teachers and the school administrators,
yeah,
and trying to again maybe get that bar to the low point where it used to be.
I don't want to be cynical about it. I think, you know, we all love our children and we want what's best for them. But this becomes a very kind of political statement very, very quickly. You know, here's the problem with what the president said. It is all well and good to say, hey, our kids should do no more than 2% of their class time on test taking. One, that's about where it is right now. We don't spend a lot of time taking tests. We spend a lot of time preparing kids for tests, and that's what parents, I think, are, and I would argue rightly, objecting to, is how testing has really gotten in the way of the testing tail, so to speak, has wagged the education dog for some time now. And that's not because of the number of tests. And first of all, the federal government only drives two or three of those tests in any given year. Most of them are given at the state and local level. So it simply won't do for the president to say, give fewer tests, because, one, they have very little say over this. Two, the test is not the problem. It's the effect of testing on schools. And what you're seeing in many, many states, New Jersey is no exception, is that teachers and schools are being held accountable for the results of those tests. And again, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that if you hold schools and teachers accountable for how kids do on those tests, if that becomes our definition of good school, bad school, well, then it shouldn't surprise anybody that the test becomes the alpha and omega of what we do all day. So the long story short is, and again, I'm not anti-testing. I think that the data that comes from testing is enormously valuable, but we have to get our relationship with testing right. We have to find a way that keeps these tests, sets them at a decent level, but doesn't allow them to dominate the schooling process. And again, that has nothing to do with the number of tests. It has to do with the way those tests are used, not just for students, but in evaluating our education at large.
And it should be pointed out, too, that the value of the testing scores for teacher assessment the first year was negotiated down, with the gray areas being accepted as, okay, let's do a wait and see and how things will measure from that point on. But then it will gradually go up to a higher level for teacher evaluations here in New Jersey. Yeah. We're talking with Robert Pondicio, who is the vice president of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute. EdExcellence.net is their website. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. You know, there could be debates and questions about testing and teaching to the test and value testing percentage. I mean, there's all these intangibles, but when you look at 70% of New Jersey Community College students have to take one remedial course when they arrive on campus, that's obviously saying that in the public school system, we got some problems here.
Well, thank you. I mean, that is the data point that I think is beyond dispute. You know, we can sit here all day and argue where the standards should be, whether the standards are any good, is the bar too high, too low, but that is a really good example of an absolute real-world, you know, non-negotiable standard that we're simply not meeting. When 70% of kids show up at two-year colleges and need to take one or two or more remedial courses, a number of things happen, none of them good. First of all, you're not gaining credit for those remedial courses. Two, you're paying for them. Three, we know that if you end up in remedial education, the chances of you persisting to ever take a degree dramatically drop. So you're basically starting 70% of our kids, in the case of New Jersey, behind the eight ball and really setting them up for failure. So there's, if nothing else can be agreed upon, we have to agree that there is simply a very, very different definition of what proficiency looks like for those graduating kids from 12th grade and those accepting them at the college level. And that is a problem we simply have to fix. You just can't turn the blind eye. We can no longer turn a blind eye to that.
That maybe hark back to my, albeit brief, days of college at Seton Hall, all of one semester when the English professor came up to me and said, you know, I hate to tell you, you're going to be bored because of what things I have to teach others to catch them up. And it was like, gee, you couldn't tell me that before the check cleared?
Exactly. Yeah, I shouldn't laugh. It's a serious problem. But what it does say is that we are graduating far too many kids from high school, not just in New Jersey, but nationwide, who are simply not at the level that colleges and employers expect them to be. So again, I understand that Common Core is not universally loved. I happen to be a supporter of it. But my pushback to those who oppose it is, okay, if not that, what? Because clearly, no matter how you look at the outcome of American education, whether it's these remediation rates, whether it's our standing, say, in, you know, math and science and reading and international comparisons, I simply don't know anybody who says that our system is working well and we should just continue it.
Wrapping our time with Robert Pondicio, who is the vice president of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute. EdExcellence.net is the website here on Issues and Ideas. So just to wrap up, Robert, what would be the best case scenario with the test scores? Again, details still to follow, but at least with the general idea of what we're seeing and some of the bad news that here in New Jersey, at least, the stats contain, what's the best case scenario of what should be done with these results?
Well, if I had the answer to that, I think I'd win a Nobel Prize. it's not an easy question to answer.
The one thing I would counsel is
patience. I mean, we have this this kind of twitching impulse in education to change and change again, you know, the way a bad baseball team might change managers or hitting coaches or some such. We did not get ourselves into this hole overnight, and we're not going to get ourselves out of it overnight. Even on Common Core, for all the political back and forth, the real challenge is not adopting or writing standards. The real challenge is meeting standards. And that is the work of many, many years. It just will not do, I would argue, to expect teachers to change their practice dramatically every couple of years and then wonder why it's not getting any better. We really do need a kind of patient, steady input to build teachers' knowledge and skills of classroom practice to meet these higher standards so then they, in turn, can help their students meet those higher standards of skills and knowledge.
Or maybe the answer could be as simple as rather than playing the blame game, step up and take responsibility and make something better that you see as wrong.
Well, yeah, sure. I don't want to be naive about that, though. It's very, very easy to say that education should be above the fray. Education is the fray, and you've got a lot of different people with a lot of different ideas, hopefully they sort out. One of the reasons I like Common Core is because it does really set a starting line for change. I'm very fond of saying there are no magic bullets in education, but there may be magic buckshot. And what I mean by that is you've got to get an awful lot of things in a decent school or decent school system moving in the same direction. You've got to have the right teachers. You've got to train them well. You've got to have curriculum. You've got to have good building leadership. You've got to have parental support, on and on and on. There's a thousand different moving parts in a school. Standards, the only thing that even good standards can do is basically set the goal line. And you don't write new standards, adopt new standards, and the next day expect to see results. It just kind of organizes schooling so everybody knows here's where we need to go. But that, again, that is the work of very long, patient inputs. That's not going to happen overnight.
Learn more about this topic and the other areas of insight offered by the Thomas B. Fordham Institute. The website is edexcellence.net. He's our vice president, Robert Pondicio. Robert, thanks so much for your insight this morning on this issue and for making us better aware of the importance of all this. Thanks for being here this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.